Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
I think it's frankly not moral for my generation to keep spending massively more than we take in, knowing those burdens are going to be passed on to the next generation.
If I'm willing to give something up as somebody who's been extraordinarily blessed, I actually think that's going to make economic sense. But for me as a Christian, it also coincides with Jesus' teaching that for unto whom much is given, much shall be required.
In many cases, it's the men who are pressuring women to have abortions. Abortion lets abusive men off the hook.
Let me tell you about my faith. Well, it's okay to say that, but what we're really saying is, let me tell you about Christ.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues Etc.
You see them in hospitals sometimes. Occasionally, when you're traveling, you might even see one walking through an airport. They're all dressed in black, except for that little white bit around the neck. Sometimes it's a collar that goes all the way around the neck, and sometimes it's just a little tab there. Of course, if you go to church, depending on what church you go to, you'll see it all the time. These pastors, these clergymen who dress like clergymen, they look like they're in some kind of a uniform, generally black, not always, but the shirt is often black and the collar's often white. What is that about? Why do pastors wear clerical garb? Why do they wear a collar? It's long associated with them, but what does it mean? And why in this age where everyone dresses down, not only on Fridays, do pastors so often still dress the way pastors have traditionally dressed? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about clerical collars, why pastors wear them. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne will be our guest for the first half hour. In the second half hour, we will remember in advance this week one of Martin Luther's most formative influences early and really throughout his life, his father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. He's remembered on the 8th of November. We'll remember him today with Dr. Martin Noland, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. That'll get us to the end of the first hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, November the 6th. We'll talk about gay marriage ballot initiatives that voters all over the country are facing today. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest, and then we'll round off these 2 hours of Issues Etc. teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Saul Becomes King in 1 Samuel. Well, the about 8 through 10 and a little bit of Chapter 11 in 1 Samuel. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. You can join us as well for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is a regular guest. He's pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Hiding Behind Christ. Anthony, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. I'm glad to see you survived Issues Etc. 24. That's great stuff, by the way. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you very much. All three of us survived. We're back feeling normal on a normal schedule again.
That's good.
You've probably encountered this when you're out and about. You're at the hospital. Someone calls you father, or you may just be out going about your business wearing your clerical collar, and people mistake you either for an Anglican priest or for a Roman Catholic priest. Is the collar something that's uniquely Roman or Anglican?
No, it's not. And you're right. Most of the time, the Roman Catholic Church gets kind of has. The credit for wearing those, and sometimes people would even say, well, you're a Lutheran, you shouldn't be wearing that. But no, it's not. It doesn't belong to any one denomination, really. But really, I think it gets back to a proper understanding of the pastoral office, the office of the Holy Ministry, really. And that was my hope to address a little bit of that in the article, that wearing the clerical collar is essentially just the pastor's uniform. And there is a great joy found in wearing the clerical because doing so, as the title of the article suggests, is in a sense hiding behind Christ, and that's not belonging to any one denomination at all. It comes down to a proper view of the office, and when we really understand the pastoral office as the office of Christ, we see that the pastor is not, well, he's not the CEO here, as some would view him. He's not the boss or the guy who has all the authority, but that Christ is the one in control. And that the pastor is simply, well, he's the guy standing in the place of Christ for the sake of the people. So it all falls back on the office and the authority that is there. See, the pastor does have authority, but it's an authority not seen in lording his own opinion over people or throwing his own weight around, but the authority he has rests only in the Word of God, only in delivering Christ to the people. And so that is his purpose, to forgive sins. And when this is properly understood, then there's great joy, in hiding behind Christ, having your pastor hide behind Christ, because we don't really care about who the pastor is. I mean, it's great to have a good pastor. It's nice that he's nice, that he's intelligent, or has a good sense of humor, or a good bedside manner. Those are all great things. But in the end, what we really want, what we really need is the objectivity of the gospel, especially with the younger generation, right? We want there to be some sure and certain truth here. And, the clerical collar is a reminder of that. It reminds us of the office in which the pastor stands, that when the congregation sees their pastor wearing his clerical, having his vocal cords vested, the place from where the gospel comes to our ears is covered in white, well, we are reminded of what the pastor is here to do and why it is that we are here to receive the gospel. So it's all about a proper understanding of the office of the holy ministry and the clerical collar just being an ever-present reminder of that, both for the people and for the pastor, as they take joy in this, we don't take joy in the pastor as a neat guy or in holding to some form of traditionalism or stuffiness, as the clerical is often seemed to be. But we take joy as the people of God in the fact that my pastor's here, and when he's here, Christ is here, because he's the one whom God has chosen to stand there and bring Christ to me, to deliver Christ's words, Christ's absolution to me. That's why we want our pastors to wear the clerical collar, and that's why there's great joy in truly understanding what the pastor has been called to do, and why we even call pastors to be our pastor. He's there to deliver Jesus. So that's sort of what I was hoping to get across in the article a little bit, and hopefully dispel some of those objections to wearing the clerical.
So what you said there about the clerical, which is kind of the pastor's everyday garb, where he might be in the office or going about town or going about his calls, does it also apply in the same sense to the other special clothing that pastors wear, the vestments on Sunday morning or at other times of worship?
Yeah, it's a very similar argument we don't wear the vestments that we wear during the service. We don't wear those throughout our whole work, but we are, there is some kind of ecclesiastical garb here. We are wearing the garments of the office and vesting ourselves. And it is a very similar argument, I would say, yeah.
Okay, so let's come back to something that you said with just a few minutes here before we take our first break. You said that this emphasizes objectivity. What is that, and why, again, is that so important?
Well, you know, the gospel is all about assurance. I mean, we could have anyone deliver the gospel to us, and as we should all be speaking concerning the gospel and the death and resurrection of Christ our Lord. So we should all be talking about the Word of God and the gospel, and it's easy to have, and it's perfectly right to have someone who's not a pastor come and bring me the gospel. But when the pastor does it, when the pastor is there standing in the office, in the office that is instituted by Jesus in order to forgive sins, well, then we have the assurance that our sins are forgiven. There's no doubt that that my sins are actually forgiven by Christ, because this is the person that Christ has given to me to forgive my sins. So somebody else can tell me that I'm forgiven in Christ, and it can be perfectly true, and they can be delivering the fullness of the Word of God, but I might look at them and wonder, is it really true? Does this person really know me? They're not the person whom God has appointed for me. So is it really true? You know, I've done some terrible things. I need forgiveness for those. What I really need is the certainty of knowing that those sins are forever taken away. And so the pastoral office provides that certainty, instituted by Christ in order to forgive sins. And that's really just what we're taking joy in.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is our guest. He's pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Hiding Behind Christ. We're answering the question, why do pastors wear clerical collars? We'll be right back. Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is our guest for another 10 minutes. We're talking about pastors wearing their clerical collars on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 6th. Anthony, you say that, and I think you mentioned this a little bit before, but you say that one in this age when every occupation is we see even happen with our presidential candidates when they go out on the campaign trail. They dress down depending on the audience. They get their shirt sleeves rolled up. It's all very carefully coordinated. And a lot of times pastors are tempted to do kind of the same thing, to drop out a uniform in order to be more relevant, to kind of mimic the way that the rest of the world would have them and everyone else look. Why is it important that we buck that trend?
Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe even to make that stronger, I think a lot of our pastors fall into this temptation to try to be like everyone else, as you're saying. They want to be relatable in a sense. Well, you know, the temptation's real, but it's a fundamental misunderstanding of what you're there to do. Because as the pastor, you're not there to stand in the place of everyone else. You know, you're there to stand in the place of Christ. Certainly, you are like everyone else, but in your sin. You as the pastor, are a wretched sinner in need of absolution, and you are just like everyone else in almost every way except one. Except the one important way, really, that when you stand there and you perform your pastoral duties, you are doing that one thing that makes you different than everyone else. You're giving them the gospel. You're delivering the blood-bought forgiveness of God, the fruit of the cross in the empty tomb, and that is what you as the pastor have been called to do. It's not about this sort of making this a law that the pastor must wear the clerical all the time. You know, I mean, I don't wear it to bed. I don't wear it in the shower. But, boy, when the pastor's acting as a pastor to his people, then you know, why would you not wear it? For what the people of God really need is not the assurance that their pastor is just like everyone else. They don't need the assurance that their pastor is hip or relevant or a really snappy dresser. They need the assurance and the certainty of the gospel. They need the pastor to be Christ to the people. They need Christ's words, Christ's absolution. And that's not coming from the guy behind the collar. It's not coming from how likable he is, but from the office in which he stands, from Christ. And this is great because, you know, that it's understanding that the man behind the collar is really inconsequential. Not that he doesn't matter at all, but that the word of God, which the pastor is given to proclaim, is not dependent upon him. The pastor's vocation, rather, is to hide himself behind Jesus, to cover his individuality in order to show forth Christ. You know, it's not that we need to work hard to, you know, be something that we're not, but to recognize that the pastor is there to give people, to not give people himself, but to give them Jesus. So the clerical collar reminds him of that. It guards the pastor of thinking too highly of himself. It reminds him that he's not the center of attention here. He's not the most important person. It takes the attention off of him, and it places the attention on Jesus, which really is a great relief for the pastor, because both his strengths and his weaknesses as a man are somewhat hidden there. And instead, the spotlight is on the one from whom even the pastor needs forgiveness. It's on Jesus. And in that sense, well, the clerical makes the pastor submit to the office too. It keeps us pastors from falling into any kind of frivolity or irreverence, and it holds our feet on the solid ground of the office.
So, in that sense, it is like other uniforms that are highly regarded by those who wear them. The police wear he doesn't just wear his uniform to be identified, but to remind himself of his duty and his responsibility. The same with the soldier.
Yes.
Is it also for the pastor a reminder to him and to his people that he may come, he may go, and another man may take his place in the same uniform? It's the same office. We are, in the end, while we dearly love our people and our people dearly love us, we are interchangeable.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember when I was a little boy, my father would often counsel me not to enter a career like that, not to enter a career where I would be like the guy inside the Big Bird costume, you know, because the guy behind Big Bird doesn't have a whole lot of job security, right? He's dispensable. In a moment's notice, you can basically pull the guy out and put someone else in the costume, and you're good to go. You know, Big Bird is still there week in and week out in all of his yellow Big Bird glory. But well, that was my dad's advice. But what did I do? I went into a career in which I'm completely dispensable. I put on the clerical collar, you know, I don the vestments, and I stand in the place of Jesus. But Christ is not there because of who I am. You know, the gospel, which turns sinners into saints, is not there because of Anthony. And in a moment's notice, you could pull me out, put in another ordained pastor, and you will still have the fullness of Christ and the gifts of his cross spoken and delivered to the people of God week in and week out. It's not about the man behind the collar. It's all about Jesus. And I think this, too, gets to, you know, the issue, because a lot of people, too, will look at the clerical collar and say, well, that guy's just drawing attention to himself. You know, there's kind of that objection, and so people want to shy away from wearing the collar and, in fact, praise the guy, the pastor, who just puts on jeans and a T-shirt. But, again, that misunderstands the difference. There is a big difference between those two. The guy who wears the clerical collar is drawing attention to himself. You know, let's not think he's doing anything but. Absolutely, he's drawing attention. But the question is to whom? See, when I go to the hospital and wear my clerical collar, I'm acutely aware of the fact that everyone will stare at me just like I've walked in with a dancing monkey or something. The collar does draw attention, but when people see me wearing the collar, they know exactly what I'm there to do. They know that I am delivering the Word of God to the sick and the suffering. They know that I'm bringing Christ to the people. They don't stare at me because I'm that great of a guy or because I'm a snazzy dresser. They stare because of Jesus, and it's the same in the church. When people see the pastor in the collar and in the vestments, they know what he's there to do. Their attention is drawn not to the pastor as an individual, not to the office of the man, right, who stands up in church, but to the office of Christ. For Christ is the one doing the doing. He's baptizing, he's absolving, he's preaching, he's suffering. So it draws attention to him. And, you know, instead, when the pastor wears jeans and a T-shirt or a suit and a tie, he's, in a sense, drawing attention to himself. Drawing attention to what style of jeans he wears and what kind of tie he picked out that day. He's drawing attention to his own personality, as it were. And then it's all about the pastor and not as much about the one whom the pastor need him to speak in the stead and by the command of, that is Jesus. So, it's really important, I think, because... You know, when we think about it, when we think about our loved ones, you know, at the end of the day, when you or your loved one is on their deathbed, and you want to, you call the pastor up to visit you. I mean, who do you want coming to visit? You want the guy who happens to have a good personality and a nice presence about him, who knows all the right fashions and clothing. And just happens to be the pastor? Or do you want the guy whom Christ has appointed to stand there for you and speak the very words of God in the stead and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I forgive you all your sins, and therefore open up eternal life to you, to use the keys of the kingdom to unlock heaven before you and usher you into eternal life? And that's what this is all about, really. It's not about the man behind the collar. It's all about Jesus.
With only about 30 seconds here, it also means that he will be open to the scrutiny and the criticism and perhaps even at times the persecution. And this man called by God isn't going to be able to hide in a crowd. He's going to be viewed, if the persecution comes, as a target. About 30 seconds for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, he will. And anybody who sees the clerical, you know, some will just deride him. And opposite, some will love him. But they do so because when they look at the clerical, they see Christ. And they either hate or love Jesus. And so, you know, it is true that, yeah, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy to wear the clerical all the time. I don't even want to wear it all the time. But this is the office in which we stand. And so the goods of Christ are delivered from the office and not the man. And so, you know, we simply want to give people the gospel. We don't want to sort of bait and switch them with the gospel. So, yeah, there's great comfort and joy and assurance there.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Hiding Behind Christ. Anthony, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. Martin Nolan will remember Martin Luther's father, confessor Johann von Staupitz, next.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I believe today is the most important election in America's history because, biblically speaking, many choices for candidates are a choice between good and evil, those who support biblical principles and those who don't. Of course, with early and absentee voting, many have already cast their ballot. But a majority of Americans are voting as I speak. Please join me in asking the Holy Spirit to grant all voters wisdom and discernment to support candidates who will stand up for biblical values. Pray the Lord will lead us to be good stewards of our God-given right to practice democracy in our country. A nation who's turned its back on God by accepting abortion, homosexuality, and other sin doesn't deserve mercy. But even so, please pray he'll still show America his grace.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.